Hey, this is Double J, Jeff Jarrett, WWE Hall of Famer, and you're listening to the My 1-2-3 Cents Podcast.
It's my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for My 1-2-3 Cents of the Podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me the hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo!
Hey friends, this is episode 203 of My 1-2-3 Cents, the Podcast, and I had intended to do today's episode, or this week's episode, or this episode. I know many in the podcasting industry don't timestamp things. So anyway, episode 203 was originally going to be an interview based off of Stride Pro Wrestling's Locker Room Melee, which happened Saturday night. I always go into these events with the intention of recording something with someone during the course of the night. As the ring announcer, though, obviously during the show, I am slammed. Before the show, kind of taking care of some last-minute things, making sure everything's in place, and it's sometimes difficult. And then after the show, this show in particular, and I'm going to talk more about it in just a few minutes, things were quite chaotic. And so I was not able to get an interview. So this will be a shorter episode. I'm going to recap, though, the Locker Room Melee, give my kind of thoughts and opinions. And I've started a new feature here. I do ask My 1-2-3 Cents as a podcast every once in a while when I don't have a whole lot of content or a guest lined up. I'm going to start doing Ask My 1-2-3 Cents at the end. And yes, I'm ripping off Conrad's podcast, Something to Wrestle With, 83 Weeks, and What Happened When. But instead of somebody asking me these questions, I'm just going to read the questions from you, the listeners. And I do appreciate, did get some questions. And I also took one question, and I'm going to focus on just one question for each episode. Because quite honestly, until we build it up and get more interaction, more involvement, then I'll be able to probably answer more than one question. So if you do have a question, ask it on Facebook or on Twitter. You can ask it even on the link at jitterymonkey.com, along with the many other great podcasts here on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network. Chad Smart's Positive Cynicism. He's starting a new feature up too. The first Tuesday of each month, he and Travis Yates, another My 1-2-3 Cents friend and supporter, will be talking about sports. That was obviously last week's induction show, where they talked about the NFL. And I don't have his schedule in front of me. I think he may have Question Everything coming up next, and I don't recall who his guest is for that. But check out Positive Cynicism, also PositiveCynicism.com right here on Jittery Monkey Podcasting, along with Greg Mahochko's Five Hearts podcast and Nerds United. And Greg is turning out, and he and his co-host are cranking out new content. They're doing a great job as well. So be sure, again, to support all the shows and rate and review on iTunes. Leave 5 stars, leave 1 star. Let us know what you are thinking, what we can do to make things better here on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network. A few other friends I want to throw shout-outs to, of course, the Podzilla 1985 crew over in Cape Girardeau, Missouri. My friends Tom and Jim from Tom and Jim's Top 5 and Tom's other show with his brother Jason Skull, the Skullbuster WrestleCast. You guys had some kind words for me the other day on your show. I appreciate it very much. And if the rumors of WrestleMania 36, I think it would be, are going to be in Minnesota, definitely going to have a My 1-2-3 Cents Positive Cynicism Skullbuster WrestleCast reunion or meeting for the first time, actually. If that is the case, though, I do look forward to that opportunity if it is to come up. So I'll be honest, full disclosure, the WWE's Super Show, I was not able to get up early enough to watch. I'm not going to make any excuses. I just simply did not do it. I went to bed late Friday night, did not want to get up Saturday morning. And then when I did get up Saturday, it was prep mode for Stride Pro Wrestling and for some other projects that I'm working on outside of my job. So was not able to get to the Super Show. Saw some results and pictures online. You know, WWE, I know a lot of people are not crazy about it. And that's actually going to be the focus of today's question for Ask My 123 Cents. We'll get to that toward the end of the show as well, as I mentioned. But I'll go into more depth on current product versus former product versus even more former product. So it'll all make sense here in just a little bit. I do want to talk, though, about Stride Pro Wrestling. As I've mentioned before, and some, if you're a new listener, thank you for one. I appreciate it. I am the ring announcer for Stride Pro Wrestling, and I do some of the behind-the-scenes social media work. And I would have to say the Locker Room Melee show was probably – the action was great. The action's always great, but the action was very intense. Abyss was on the show, a special guest for the night, did a meet-and-greet with fans who, you know – just less than or right at a week before he goes into the Impact Wrestling Hall of Fame. He was in Pinckneyville, Illinois, signing autographs and taking pictures with fans and then getting in the ring and kicking some ass. So I do appreciate him. And I got to chat with Abyss briefly before the show started. I think I told you guys last week he was we were going to try to work it out where he could be on last week's podcast. And with all the press he's doing for the Hall of Fame, I was not able to catch up with him one on one, but I was able to record his conversation on the Impact Wrestling media call that they do with other wrestling journalists. And I am by no means calling myself a wrestling journalist, but I did get an invite to that event and was able to record it and shared part of it here. So go back and listen. If you want to hear more from Abyss, listen to episode 202 of My 123 Cents, the podcast. The show started off with a segment called Striking Your Fancy. Jay Wellington Beauregard, manager extraordinaire, came out and kind of ran down some of the guys on the roster, including Jerry Travelstead. He is the superintendent and the principal at Pinckneyville Community Consolidated School District 204, which is where the event was being held. It was a fundraiser for that school. So if you don't kind of know the backstory, this will all kind of start making sense. So Jerry is a Stride wrestler, but he's also an educator. And it was his school that was raising money to build a new locker room for them. That's where the Locker Room Melee part comes into play as well. So that kind of lays the groundwork. Then there was going to be Tony Flood, the former champion who lost the title 2 weeks ago to Heath Hatton. Jerry was the special guest referee. Tony felt like Jerry screwed him out of the belt. So a last man standing match was signed as a result. And Tony and Jerry have a long lasting rivalry. And you can catch up on my123cents.com too if you'd like to. Long story short, members of the Redneck World Order have also had issue with some of the educators at Pinckneyville, including the principal, Tony Wilson, and he's the principal at Pinckneyville High School. And then, of course, teacher Stone Cold Plumpster Josh Plumley at 204. So a match was signed between the Raging Redneck, or I'm sorry, Hollywood Redneck now, and his partner, the bad guy, Cole James. They were set to take on the two educators. We call them disciplinary action. So that was kind of the set for the main event and the semi-main event for the night. And Tony Flood came out, cut a promo. The RWO came out, and you know, Redneck World Order is pretty entertaining. So the show opened, though, match-wise, with the Legacy Championship being determined in a fatal four-way ladder match. It was Wraith, the champion, defending against his disciple, Riser, Jay Spade, and Aaron Brooks, who came out painted like Venom. So he was Venomized Aaron Brooks. By the way, I want to do a shout-out, too, to Mackenzie Blades, who does the makeup for Aaron Brooks. She did a great job, a fantastic job on the makeup, and I really... you know, he looked great and got the crowd pumped up for sure. I think fans dig it and enjoy it. He, of course, the last time he did this was as Brooks Pool at our show Stride Go Steel in the Ville, and did a phenomenal job. The match was great. Honestly, I would have to say this match probably is the one that stole the show. It was an amazing match. We saw tension, and then finally, what I believe may be the decimation of the relationship between Wraith and Riser. The two came to blows after trying to prevent one another from climbing that ladder and winning the championship. So that's the story I really want to keep an eye on. Riser, in my opinion, within his first year of the business, an amazing competitor. I look forward to seeing what else the future holds for him. Wraith, of course, was the champion and a dominant legacy champion since March. So made his debut in January and has held that title since March. So a good run for him and a very entertaining character as a part of the Stride roster. Jay Spade, of course, a veteran of indie wrestling here in Southern Illinois. Can't say enough good things about him, remembering him back from when we worked together in All-American Pro Wrestling. So Aaron Brooks, though, able to climb that ladder, get the belt, and is now your legacy champion. The tag team titles were defended next, and former Billy Hills and String Bean won the titles 2 weeks ago. Unfortunately, String Bean was injured in a match just last week, and doctors told him he could not get in the ring and wrestle, so Farmer was to go it alone in another fatal four-way, this time the Kellis brothers teaming up, taking on members of the DR Party, Dexter Roswell and Brian Richards, and El Magnifico and Joey O'Reilly, a very unlikely team there. It was an elimination match. Farmer came out, of course, by himself. String Bean was with him, but unable to compete. During the opening part of the match, though, it was announced that Scott Phoenix would be filling in for String Bean. And General Manager Sam Hunter allowed it, okayed it, that the titles could be defended by Scott Phoenix and Farmer Billy Hills. And long story short, Farmer and Scott Phoenix ended up retaining the championships. And I talked to String Bean, and he tells me that the horticulturists are putting some extra Miracle Grow and other herbs and whatnot to get him back to full capacity. So he will be remaining as a co-holder of the Stride Pro Wrestling Tag Team Championships with Farmer Billy Hills. Abyss and Roger Mathis were next, and these two put on a classic last year in Cape Girardeau, Missouri, a Monsters Ball match. Because this one was at a school, and I think they probably wanted to minimize the violence, this one was just a one-on-one confrontation between Abyss and Roger Mathis. However, the Midwest Monster Hunters got involved. The Midwest Monster Hunters, former Stride Pro Wrestling Tag Team Champions, and they picked the wrong two monsters to hunt because what ended up happening is they jumped Mathis and Abyss, and General Manager Sam Hunter okayed it for this to then become a tag team match, and Abyss and Mathis won. And Mathis got a rousing ovation from the crowd. It's weird for me to see Mathis being cheered, given the history between he and myself. So we'll keep an eye on that situation as well. What is going on with Roger Mathis and what is his future here in Stride Pro Wrestling? Again, huge thanks, huge shout out, huge props to Abyss for being a part of our event, coming out and caught up with him again briefly after the match because it was leading then into intermission and Abyss needed to get back home to catch another early morning flight. So talked to him very briefly after his match, and he was excited about the show and told Jerry that if he ever wanted him to come back, he would be more than willing and more than happy to come back and wrestle in Stride Pro Wrestling. So I like hearing that when, you know, guys from WWE or TNA, Impact Wrestling, Ring of Honor, when they come in and they have a good time and then they want to come back, that's always a great thing to hear. So we do appreciate that. After intermission, it was Heath Hatton defending the Stride Pro Wrestling heavyweight title against Chris Hargis and his former tag team partner, Axe Allward. The two got along. They teamed up against Hargis there for a bit, who has now aligned himself with Jay Wellington Beauregard, who is Allward's former manager. The match ended, though, with Hatton hitting a spear on Axe and getting the pin, so it'll be interesting to see what is next for their relationship, but also, where does Chris Hargis go from here? He's signed on with Jay Wellington Beauregard, who has promised him some things that he's so far has not been able to deliver on, so we'll have to wait and see what happens with the Hargis and Jay Wells situation. The teachers, the educators, disciplinary action, Tony Wilson, and Stone Cold Plumpster Josh Plumlee beat the Redneck World Order in a tag team match, which ended up being a street fight. It was a Pinckneyville street fight. Because it is Halloween season, jack-o'-lantern came into play, and Raging Redneck ended up with a carved jack-o'-lantern. Of course, it's carved. It's a jack-o'-lantern. Ended up with a jack-o'-lantern on his head, and one of the young fans in the crowd, Isaac Heine, who is an amazing little kid who loves wrestling, he got involved too, so it was fun. The handcuffs were involved, all kinds of crazy things. Bud Gallows handcuffed Tony Wilson there for a little bit, but little Isaac ended up getting a hold of the key and able to get it back to Tony Wilson, who uncuffed himself and ended up cuffing Bud then as a result. And it was a fun match for the crowd. They loved it. They watched their teacher and a principal end up being victorious in the middle of the ring. So always a good time. Then came the main event. It was a last man standing match, Tony Flood versus Jerry Travelstead. And these two brought it. It was a fight. It was brutal. I will tell you, towards the end, Tony Flood, a ladder, of course, got involved. It was a last man standing match. There were tables and ladders and all kinds of chaos going on. The ladder was brought into the ring. Tony climbed to the top rope and went to do a moonsault. And when he launched, I could just tell there was something not right about the way he was going. And he hit that ladder face first, you know, right above his eye, you know, forehead area. And when he rolled over, I just saw a pool of blood. And, you know, I ran to get some paper towels. In the meantime, as I was doing that, a couple of other people who are involved with Stride were also trying to get some ice and get some things. An EMT also, who was on hand, met us in the hallway. He was getting his stuff. But to Tony's credit, he kept on going. And I didn't know how bad it was. I just knew that in the almost 3 years that I've been a part of Stride Pro Wrestling, this is the first time I've seen somebody busted open the hard way. So I was concerned. I legitimately was concerned. And when I looked back in and saw that they were back up on the ladder and this time on the entrance stage, I knew that Tony was okay, or at least he was okay enough to continue on with the match. And it ended with Tony getting flipped off of that ladder and through the stage. He went through the stage and could not answer the referee's 10 count. It ended, though, we helped Tony out of the pit that he was in. And Jerry Travelstead, in a class act, raised Tony's hand as a show of sportsmanship. And that's the kind of guy that Jerry Travelstead is. It was just an amazing encounter, and it was a kind of a almost surreal type moment. Of course, we get Tony to the back. The EMT looks at him some more, bandages him up, and Tony went to the hospital. And I have talked to Tony, and he is okay. He tells me that he is going to be just fine. He did go to the hospital. He did get checked out. And his response to me, I had messaged him. He said, "I'm in one piece. All is well, brother. Thank you." So, Tony, I don't know if you're listening to this or not, but props to you. Thank you for what you do. Thank you to everyone in Stride Pro Wrestling and in all of pro wrestling, because an accident can happen in a split second. You know, there are so many variables going on inside that ring. It could have been much worse. I'm thankful that it wasn't, and I'm glad that Tony is going to be okay. So we are wrapping up, that wraps up the Stride Pro Wrestling Locker Room Melee Show. The next show date has not been officially announced yet. We're working out some venue locations and whatnot, but we'll definitely have an update and some news on strideprowrestling.com in the coming days about what the next step is for Stride Pro Wrestling's next event. I want to get to the Ask My 123 Cents question, and that comes from Greg Mahochko, who is, of course, the founder of the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network. He asks, putting your personal bias aside, what is the best era of wrestling between the 1980s when you became a fan, the late 1990s when wrestling became mainstream and cool, or the current product with the athletic ability and so many of the men and women that so many of the men and women possess? So, that's an excellent question. Actually, it's funny that he asks that question because Axe Allward posted a picture of the original WrestleMania main event on his Facebook page earlier, right before I started recording this. And there was actually, I wouldn't say a debate starting, but there was, you know, Axe is, of course, the old school warrior and had posted, you know, he misses this era of wrestling. And someone commented and said, I miss the characters, not the wrestling. And Axe responds by saying, I miss the wrestling the most. I've always liked the 80s style. I know it was generally slower and not as athletic as today's style, but it's the people I grew up on. Plus, we had Savage, Steamboat, and the British Bulldogs to pick up the pace every once in a while. Axe, that is a great response, and it's something that I pretty much agree with. I wouldn't necessarily say I liked the 80s. I liked the characters, the nostalgia, and I think that every generation, no matter what, we look back on what we grew up on, and what we kind of knew as, you know, those are the fond memories. You know, when they reboot these old sitcoms and old TV shows, they're okay. I enjoyed Roseanne when it came back. I'm watching the new Murphy Brown. But it doesn't hold up to the originals. And it's kind of like the same thing with, you know, the Star Wars trilogy. You could argue that. I think what we first were exposed to, grew up on, and knew is what we normally will naturally gravitate to. Let me just say this. From about 1983, late 1982, or early to mid 1983 on, I have been a wrestling fan, obsessed with wrestling, loved it. Magazines, pay-per-views, action figures, you know, buying them, getting the videos, getting the DVDs, watching the shows, going to live events. Some fans talk about, you know, well, I took a break during this time or whatever. I have gone continuous, have been exposed to it, loved it. And of course, the internet makes that much, much easier now to stay a fan and keep up with things. So the Attitude Era, you know, the late 90s that Greg referred to, that was great. That was action-packed. I can still remember flipping between Nitro and Raw, or watching the Nitro replay, recording one show on VHS and then watching it later. Just so many different things. This was, of course, in an era before there was DVR. So I liked that time too. It doesn't hold up in my memory as well as the 80s did. And I think that may be also in part because less was more back then. We didn't have monthly pay-per-views. We didn't have weekly 2-hour, 3-hour episodic shows that you know, had storyline after storyline after storyline. There was a basic handful of stories that you followed back in the 80s. Today's product, you know, it's very similar. There's a lot to keep up with, and it's hard, especially when you factor in more than just WWE. You know, there are several wrestling companies between Ring of Honor and Impact Wrestling, Chikara Pro, Lucha Underground, MLW. There's just so much out there. And then pepper in all the indie stuff, Cape Championship Wrestling and Stride Pro Wrestling are the two main ones that I focus on here in Southern Illinois. But there's a ton out there. The NWA is making a comeback. The guys with All In. It's just so much. So if you want to talk about quality of wrestling, hands down, it's today's era. If you want to talk about entertainment value, I'm probably going to lean toward what I grew up with, which was the 80s, Hulk Hogan, Rowdy Roddy Piper, Macho Man Randy Savage, the British Bulldogs, Demolition, Ric Flair, Dusty Rhodes, Sting, Lex Luger. That era is what holds up to me as it, that I fondly look back and remember. But 20 years from now, I may look back on this. 20 years from now, if I could remember this era, I'll look back on and remember fondly. So it's again, I love all wrestling. And I honestly don't know that I would ever put one above the other in terms of what is my favorite. I, you know, like the product itself, as a fan, I think you have to evolve too. And you develop different tastes and different interests in what is going on. So, Greg, I hope that answers your question. I feel like I've rambled on a little bit too much today. But that is my 1-2-3 cents on the 80s versus the 90s versus now. But again, I love it all. And it's almost like trying to pick a favorite kid. You have different traits and attributes of each that make you love and appreciate and respect them. So it's the same thing with those different eras of wrestling. Friends, I've gone on way too long. Thank you so much for tuning in, listening. Check out prowrestlingtees.com/my123cents. You can also check out my123cents.com. Don't forget to rate and review this show and the others here on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network and other independent, and by independent, I mean, you know, not celebrity-run podcast. Check those out as well. And be sure to rate and review those shows as well. We appreciate any kind of feedback that we can get. Everyone, thanks for listening, and have a great week.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.